Blog Talk Radio.
Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. My name is Laurie Ann Smith. Glad to be here. It is Friday morning, 7 o'clock here in the morning, July 28th, 2017. I'm glad to be here, just waking up, having a coffee. And this is just a morning reflection for me, and hopefully it's helping other people. Just as a survivor of abuse, you know, to sort of keep me on track, you know, to what I'm working on and what I need to focus on and what I need to continue working on to work towards my healing journey, for her healing journey. So thanks for joining me. I appreciate it to everybody who's taking the time and you know, listen to my shows. I've done a lot of shows. It's hard to keep up with them. Really, I was just looking at, you know, morning reflection. How am I doing? How are we doing? We can ask ourselves these things. Positive reinforcement for the day, get us started in the right direction. Self-care, you know, coping mechanisms, things like that. So thanks for being here. And if you're you know, just starting your healing journey and you're a survivor of abuse, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. Do a safety checklist. You can get that from several, I mean, lots of different places. But the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Moore Center program, has a safety first chapter in their book, in their Survivor to Thriver workbook. And it's like 60 pages long, but it's really worth the read. And be sure and, you know, get some sort of information on safety. And that way you can make sure that you're not triggered and then, you know, spend the rest of your day in a miserable state, you know, and you want to know how to know whether you're sure, you know, you're absolutely sure enough that you're safe enough to be listening to something like this or anything like this, because abuse, information about abuse can trigger your own situation and then cause you to have a horrible day, or, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself and you don't want to hurt somebody else. So make sure that you that information first, and if you're not sure if you're safe enough to be listening, then just turn the show off because you won't be hurting my feelings at all. And but Havoka's got safety first information on their website as well, and HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, that's what we're looking at, their website. But ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Moore Center program, the Survivor to Thriver workbook, that's free, and you can download it or you can just read it right on their site. But make sure you get that information and keep yourself safe, right? Anybody else, you'd have to listen at your own discretion, you know, talking about abuse. Abuse is a very sensitive topic. You know, if you're not sure that it's going to bother you or not, you have to make the right decision for yourself. So ultimately, it's your choice to listen, so make that decision for yourself. And we'll just get right into this, where we left off from Monday. And this week's been busy. I mean, I've just had a couple of busy, really busy weeks. And I'm usually busy, but this is just exceptionally busy this last couple of weeks. And so I haven't had any time to do anything. Again, what I wanted to do was work in my workbooks. So eventually I'll get back to those. But I do want to keep on track with that. I'm working with Dr. Dan B. Allender. His workbook, Wounded Heart workbook, as well as his book, and I'm going through and doing the actual work in the workbook, and it's very helpful. It's Hope for Adult Victims of Childhood Sexual Abuse, and it is really helping me out, so I need to get back into that, and maybe this weekend I'll do some of that. So I'm working on that, and you know, so there's other things that I want to kind of work on for sort of like physical self-care. You know, I got to start getting some exercise and stuff like that. I didn't get any of that done this week at all. So I'm, you know, sort of where I was last Monday. Just leaving off, you know, with no real progress. Haven't had all that horrible of a week, you know. I didn't have any real major problems with flashbacks or anything. This is the kind of stuff we can look at to see what we need to work on, right? So you can ask yourself, you know, I'd like to do these shows actually every morning, but I'm working on some other things too, especially with the biblical stuff that I do. And so I can't do, like, all of it, so I had to kind of cut something. So I just do these shows Mondays and Fridays, but you know, we can ask ourselves this stuff every day when we wake up. You know, how am I doing? How am I feeling? What do I need to work on? You know, to make, you know, to sort of be our own best advocate, really, in our own healing journey, right? So it's been not a bad week, actually. Just a little bit tired, but, you know, it's the end of the week, so here we go. I got the weekend off, so thank you. Know, I'm going to try to get some extra rest, actually, this weekend. And it's been incredibly hot, so that's, we don't have an air conditioner. It's just as hot as it is in the desert down in the States there in New Mexico. I'm up in Canada, and it's really hot up here right now where I'm at. And, rarely do you ever see air conditioning because we don't usually have that kind of high of temperatures up here for very long. But this summer has been just like a real summer, which has been great, actually. But it's a little too hot. So we're kind of struggling over here with one little fan, but we'll make it through. But I am going to try to get some extra rest this weekend for sure. So we're looking at Havoka Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Havoka Information for Survivors Feelings. I did put that in the chat room. We looked at dealing with emotional distress and its physical effects. We looked at outer calm versus inner storm. We looked at reclaiming emotions and bargaining with the internal censor. And next up is nonverbal methods of releasing emotions. So this is where we're leaving off here, where we left off with Havoka. So some survivors find that nonverbal methods of releasing emotions are the best means of evading the restrictions of censor and critic. One man reported playing the piano all night during the period of acute stress that he experienced following the death of his abuser. And after several hours of playing, he achieved an almost meditative state. The next day, he was more able to express the mix of emotions he felt about the death of someone with whom he had a love-hate relationship. One woman survivor reported spending whole days in her studio drawing early in her recovery process. Although she was not an artist, the shapes she drew with colored pencils helped her unlock years of pent-up emotions. It's important for survivors not to fall into the trap of thinking that they, quote-unquote, bring on physical illnesses by not being, quote-unquote, perfect and able to handle their emotions just right. So learning to undo the patterns of repression fostered by childhood abuse is a lifelong pursuit for most survivors. And they said here, because of the intricate connections between body and psyche, survivors may gain unexpected rewards if they persist in the therapeutic process. As they find psychological and spiritual healing, they may also discover that greater sense of physical well-being that comes when the fullness of emotional life is restored. And that's from Suzanne Scott and Lynn M. Constantine. They're health and behavioral science writers in Northern Virginia. So I think that's interesting, and I think, you know, that's very true. You know, talking about nonverbal methods of releasing emotions, I've actually read quite a lot about that, that there's ways that people can, you know, do things that can help people to get through these things. Whatever works for you, you know, not everybody's the same, and we all need different things. For me, you know, I did do a little bit of art therapy, drawing and stuff like that, and I wouldn't say that was what helped me the most, sort of thing. But as far as nonverbal methods of releasing emotions, nonverbal stuff is very interesting because I find this actually piece of this article very interesting because I did this program with Beverly Searle and Kate Mitchell out of Australia called Your Envisioned Mind. Your Envisioned Mind. And it's used to be called Forget Talking Therapy, and I actually did a show with this lady. She's Beverly Searle. She's the creator, really, and so Kate Mitchell had helped her on this. But they both work, you know, in the field of like psychology, psychotherapy, and have ministered and really helped a lot of people out, survivors of abuse and survivors of trauma. And it doesn't have to just be abuse. This program, Your Envisioned Mind, is actually for anybody who suffered any kind of trauma. And it doesn't even have to be trauma so much. It could be just a learning disability or just anything like that. This program is actually really, really good. It helped me out a lot. And it was nonverbal. It's using, you have to be, the verbal part of it is at the very beginning because it's like a meditation. It's like going inside to work on getting help for our inner wounded parts of ourselves, right? The inner child work, which, you know, I mean, that's not all of that program what that's about, but that's what part of it's about. And I think that that's really what helped me out was the nonverbal allowing myself to get in touch with these wounded parts of myself that doesn't use words because it uses the limbic system because of The problem with abuse and trauma, you know, people who've survived abuse and trauma, whether it's child abuse or some other horrific thing, you know, car accident or being in a, you know, in a battle zone, in a war zone, or some sort of horrible attack, like a being victimized and as an adult or anything like that. The problem with that stuff is that the actual torture of it, the trauma gets stored in the limbic system, where there's no words, it's all pictures. The limbic system, the limbic area of the brain. And you can't talk to that part of the brain. It has to be pictures in order to get in touch with it. Excuse me. So I think that that's very interesting about this nonverbal thing. So that's very true. That did help me out a lot, was not so much words and speaking, even though talking about my past and my problems, you know, dealing with the abuse that I suffered as a child has been very, very helpful. And writing about it, getting it out, words have been very important to the whole thing for me. Maybe not for other people, but for me it sure did help. But also this other work that I did helped me make a lot of progress, I think, in my healing journey, because I don't have the same amount of flashbacks and I don't have the same amount of anxiety. I still have some anxiety and some flashbacks, so it didn't take them all away. But it does. I don't have near the same amount, because I was able to go in and work with my inner wounded parts of myself, which were all the stages and places where I was wounded in my past, especially from the abuse that I suffered as a child. And I had to go back in and save myself and actually rescue myself, because I wasn't saved as a child. I wasn't rescued from any situation I was in. I was actually saved from being kidnapped a few times, which was great. But I wasn't saved from the abuse. So nobody picked me up after my mom had beaten me, or my dad had beaten me, or my brother had raped me, or whatever. All these different situations that I suffered as a child and even a teenager, and nobody came along and picked me up and held me and to see if I was okay, or I just had to suffer out on my own. I'd be quiet and shut up, otherwise I'd get another beating or whatever, right? So, which is what happens, is why it's called abuse, right? So I had to go in, and which is, you know, this is sad but true, right? We all survivors know about this. And even the emotional wounding, the psychological wounding, the verbal battering, you know, all of that stuff. Nobody was there to try to help me out and pick me up. So I had to go back and do that for myself at all these places where I was wounded. And that really made a big difference, I'd say, in my healing journey, if not the biggest difference, was to rescue myself. I don't have near the anxiety, I don't have even remotely close to the same fear and anxiety stuff going on from, you know, 8 years old, 7 years old, you know, 6 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, you know, just going on and on and on, right? So it did make a big difference, and that's called Your Envisioned Mind. It's not a free program. It costs money. It's not expensive, but it does cost a few bucks. But it's worth it. I'm still using the program, because it's something that you use for life. It's not something you just read one time and put it away. It's a program that actually I use all the time in order to maintain this limbic system issue of the trauma that I suffered as a child, right? So anytime I'm triggered, I then have to go back in and help and look at the situation with my inner wounded parts of myself to see where, you know, who needs help, which one of my wounded cell parts of myself actually is suffering and struggling, whether it's me at 10 years old or something that's triggered me from when I was 8 years old or whatever, right? It's quite interesting. So that's nonverbal method, and I think that's just one. But what they're saying here is that just anything, you know, somebody... You know, it could be music, could be playing a musical instrument, like they were saying, or like this one woman who went into her studio and just drew shapes and with colored pencils, and it helped her unlock years of pent-up emotions. So there's lots of things people can do. It doesn't have to be verbal, talking or, you know, things like this. It could, or writing even. It could be art, you know, expressed through art, expressed through... I would even say through, like some people might just find that some sort of sport helps them out, like walking or, you know, whatever it is, rock climbing or whatever it is, a person can find stuff, you know, to help them with this stuff. So I think that's interesting. I like what they had to say there. That's actually the end of that section. We just finished that one up. The next one up that I want to look at is this is from Havoka, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. It's still under the feeling section. It's called Fear of Feeling. And that's actually the very last part of this feeling section. And I think what we'll do is we'll pick that up Monday because that'll take the whole, probably about 15 minutes there. But you can go check that out just by going to, this is the very last part of that feelings section. It's Havoka, Information for Survivors, under the Feelings tab, and it'll be the very last one by Margaret Paul, PhD, Inner Bonding, Fear of Feeling. That's the name of the actual article. So we'll pick that up Monday, but you can go read that for yourself. Positive reinforcement, what are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negative thoughts. This is very important. What am I doing right? Well, yeah, because I could go on and on about all the stuff that's not happening that I'm not doing right, so I didn't get this done and I didn't get that done, and then that just reinforces the fact that I'm just a loser and I'm not going to make it and I never deserve to live in the first place. You know what I mean? All of this horrible stuff that, was that I was told over and over and over again as a child growing up, and actually reinforced with the physical abuse and the being, rejected and thrown out of the house and all of this stuff that I don't count, I don't matter, I'm an idiot, I'd be better off dead, right? And that's absolutely horrific, right? It really is, because I don't have to take that, you know what I mean? Like I'm an older woman, getting older by the day. And, they didn't have the right to do that in the first place, all my abusers, to cause me to feel that way. But they did, and I'm stuck with it. So instead of just looking at the negatives and saying, I didn't do this and I didn't do that, which would be true. I didn't get a lot of things done I was supposed to get done this last week because I've been so busy. Not just on my healing journey, stuff that I need to do in my daily life, that gets put off, right? Because I'm not perfect, and nobody is, right? So instead of being hard on myself, I just look at some of the positive stuff, Like, I managed actually quite well this week to get a lot of stuff done, even though I didn't get it all done. So I can be, that's a positive reinforcement. I got some things done, I just didn't get it all done again, right? But everything on my list is not done. But a lot of it's done, scratched off, and I can, at least that's an accomplishment. I can still work on getting some other stuff done. And also just trying to eat a little bit better, trying to get some rest and stuff like that. And trying to make sure I'm getting proper rest, that's important. Just these little things, for as far as self-care goes, I could say, at least I'm working on it, I'm trying. I haven't really made any progress yet in the area of self-care so much as like exercise goes and sort of that sort of thing. But, eventually it should happen, right, if I keep looking at it. So there's lots of things we can say that, what am I doing right in my walk, my daily walk here? Well, I say, if we're still getting up and we're still trying and we're still, every day, do the best that you can. I would say that's a positive, because we're coming from behind the eight ball where, most people, if they haven't dealt with emotional trauma and difficulties, because everybody's been wounded by somebody, Can't live on the planet and not have had been wounded by something or somebody, right? So we've all experienced that. But people who have been abused, I would even say it's just that much worse. You know what I mean? If you're getting up in the morning and you're going to put that foot down on the ground and you're going to take one step and you're going to take another step and you're going to do the day, I think that's a positive. You have to start where you're at and you have to start slow. I don't set any goals for myself, actually, that I can't attain. Because that's too easy to do, set these goals, and then if they don't, if it doesn't work out, then I'm just hard on myself. It's like, I can't do anything right. I'm just a loser or whatever. Whatever it is, these horrible things that we tell ourselves from the past, from the abuse, this inner critical voice, whoever it is, the abusers or whoever, even our own inner critical voice, which could be an abuser, which mine is, but it's mainly stemming from my mother and the stuff that she told me, which then I took on, and I actually believed a lot of it, unfortunately. Not all of it, but some of it I did take on. And that's the harmful stuff, because that's the stuff that I can say, no, really, I am a loser, you know what I mean? And it's like, no, I don't. I need to go back then and negate that, right? And so that's why looking at the positives is very important. It's okay to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, I didn't get everything done. I need to work on this. I need to work on that, but not to be hard on ourselves. And because what that does is it sets us up for more, more letdown, more problems. It's kind of like, That's so easy to do too. I've even seen people do this who have not been abused, right? This is something that people just do to themselves, right? It's absolutely horrific because we're trying to live according to somebody else's standards, you know, and that's not, we can't live according to somebody else's standards. We're not living their life and we're not in their shoes, right? And that's why we're in our own shoes. We're living our own life. And that's why it's really wrong for people to judge other people. And we're all guilty of it, I'm sure. So, you know, we need to judge our own self by our own life and by our own walk, you know. It's like, so yeah, I mean, maybe I'm not doing the best that somebody would think, you know, looking in from the outside, might think that I'm just lazy or unmotivated or that, you know, I just don't care about things and let things go. And that would be their own observation based on information that they know nothing about. So we got to stop really caring about what other people think, right? Because they don't really know the situation. And then we got to not worry so much about them and just concentrate on our own journey. So really, who cares what people think, right? The issue is I have to be okay with at the end of the day with what's going on in my life. And so I need to take care of things so that they don't build up, which then cause me anxiety and a lot of grief because I didn't get things done, because I've got people, you know, people counting on me to get things done, you know. And, you know, in life we have to do things. You know, pay bills, get up, get something to eat, get dressed, whatever it is. So I would say as long as we continue trying every day, like I said, get out of bed, put one foot in front of the other, you know, that's a positive. We can be happy about that. Right? We could say, well, that's a positive. I actually got up and I did the best I could today. That's all. That's all I could do. But at the end of the day, if that's all we can say, I think that's good enough, right? We don't have to live according to somebody else's standards, and we don't have to try to judge our lives by other people's standards because we're not living their life and they're not living ours. So we have to judge it by our own standards, you know? And at the end of the day, if we're just trying the best we can to get done what we need to do to help ourselves, you know, and to make things work so that, you know, they're not piling up and causing problems for us, then I think we're doing good. You know, some things are going to slip off and fall on the side there that need to be picked back up. But, you know, we're do the best you can, right? And I think that's very important. I want to continue looking at this Havoka Getting Started Affirmations. Top tips. This is, we looked at visualization. We looked at reminders, writing power, people power, recordings, word power. Now we're going to look at list your qualities. This is kind of interesting. I did read this one actually yesterday, because I was actually looking at this page here that I've got pulled up here. List your qualities. Take some time out to make a list of all your accomplishments, qualities, awards, recognitions, achievements, good deeds, talents, creations, blessings, positive characteristics. No room on this list for failures or inadequacies, it says. So it's not that type of list. So you can't put any failures or inadequacies on there. It says, with pen in hand, paper on the table in a quiet area, spend a good hour thinking about this. Write everything down as it comes to you. Think back through your life and list only the good, positive things. So the list will be quite long, they said. List every award at school, every teacher's positive remarks, all worldly accomplishments, skills, talents with people or things. Put it down on, if you think of it, don't edit the list. If you made the highest score on a test, right, they said your college math test, but didn't finish college, put down talented with math. List everything that you think of. It's just a practice in positive thinking and affirmation. You're not trying to prove anything, it says. Remind yourself that it's just an exercise. You're not trying to prove to yourself that you've done more good than bad. Make a list like this regularly, at least yearly. You don't have to have big accomplishments on your list. So, for example, they said good with computers, honest with people, know how to work with wood, know how to fix cars, get along with people, people like my company, good conversationalist, saved in my retirement fund, good cook, keep a clean house, not bothered by petty things, clean driving record, responsible, graduated high school, have excellent friends, trusted by others. So these are just examples, right? List our qualities. I've actually probably done a little bit of that in the past. You know, looking at what I've actually accomplished instead of just looking at what I didn't accomplish sort of thing. And that actually is good because it does show you that, you know, we can't be somebody else, right? We're just ourselves. And so these little things, some people would say, well, my list probably isn't going to it's not going to match, it's not going to account to much, and it's not going to be like somebody else's list, right? And it's like, but we're not comparing lists, right? It's not something that we're going to compare with somebody else to see, you know, whether it's worthy or not. This is to feel good about anything that could be remotely characterized as good that we've done or good about us in our lives, you know? And that's important, especially, you know, coming from surviving abuse and being made to feel whatever it was we were made to feel, right? Which was bad about ourselves, which caused problems for us later in life. And so it is kind of important to do this. I've actually done this, and I've done several types of lists like this throughout my lifetime. I don't do it every year, like I said, do it every year. I don't do that all the time, but I usually do it when I'm looking for a job. If in the past I've actually done this, not every time, but if I'm looking for work and I'm actually going to go for interviews and stuff, I'll sit down and I'll make a list of stuff like this, achievements and things like that, and also goals. And then I'll sit and sort of think about that. And it helps me to feel like, you know, a little bit better about my life, you know what I mean? It's not all bad, you know? And it was bad growing up abused as a child. But I've also, there's good things about me and there's good things about, you know, my life that have, like, write down that are good, right? And so that's important instead of just looking at the negative all the time. So that's, you know, because we can get stuck on that negative stuff. So it is important to put some positive stuff in there too, you know. And I mean, I didn't, you know, I graduated high school. I just barely made it. But, you know, I didn't go on to college or anything like that. But later on, I went to cooking school. So I had to actually go back into school and take a math course because I couldn't pass the basic math. And I couldn't even pass. I mean, I had a real problem with math. I did graduate from high school, though. But in order to go into this cooking school, I had to take a test. And I didn't pass it. So I had to go back and take a math course. And so when I passed the math course at the age of like 25 or 26, I was so happy. I was like, see, I'm not as stupid as everybody made me look, feel, you know. I don't know. I guess maybe, and also I just felt bad myself because I was not very, I didn't do well in school. So, you know, I didn't get my red seal in cooking school. It just, a lot of things happened, but I did get close to it, and these are accomplishments. So I didn't finish and become a red seal like I wanted to be, a red seal chef. I went as far as I could. I thought that I did a really good job. And so I could pat myself on the back for that. It was never about trying to be the best or trying to be the top chef or the top dog. It was about whether or not I could actually do it or not, you know. And I proved to myself that I could. So I didn't get my red seal. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The fact that I even had enough courage to do that, to change careers and go to that cooking school, took a lot of guts because I was with a lot of guys, because there's women in cooking schools, you know. Nowadays it's a little more common, but it didn't used to be. And when I was going, and there was many kitchens I worked in where I was the first woman to ever work on the line in the hot food section. So I thought it was really quite an accomplishment. There's these little things that, you know, somebody else, who cares what they think about it? It's what I think about it, right? So we have to care about ourselves, and we have to recognize our accomplishments. Who cares what anybody else thinks? And you don't have to show that list to anybody. It's probably better that you don't. You be happy about you, right? And you list your qualities and you recognize them and give them place in your life. I wouldn't say to be so proud, because I'm really not into this proud crap, but give them place in your life as well, because they do deserve it. You know what I mean? If you know, we all have good qualities about ourselves, and we need to actually acknowledge those, right? It's very important. So I like that. Next up, we'll look at on Monday is affirmations for problems, right? And then the positive self-talk section. So here's a brainy quote from brainyquote.com, and I'll just pick one. In order to succeed, we must first believe that we can. Nikos Kazantzakis. In order to succeed, we must first believe that we can. That's right. So I wish you a really wonderful week, everybody. Take good care of yourselves. If you're struggling, like I say on every single show, you make sure you reach out and you get some help. And, you know, if you know, anonymous help is really helpful. I really like that because there's safety in that. And if you can't find that, you know, can't find somebody to talk to, you call the crisis line. You do whatever you have to do, but you stick it out and you get help. And you do not allow yourself to be destroyed by your past and by your abuse. No. You stick it out and you get the help you need because you so deserve it. I know that I do. I know that I did and I know that I do. And so do you, right? So I wish you a wonderful weekend. And even if it's not the best and it's not that great, you know, you take care of yourself. You do the best you can every single day to take care of yourself, right? And to be good to people around you. Be good to yourself. Be especially kind to yourself, you know? And we'll see you back here next Monday, hopefully. Have a great weekend, everybody.